all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality in a way that is extremely empowering. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I would like to gift my book, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance, to you at goldenkey.gift, where you can get the audio or ebook as my gift to you by using the code POSITIVEHEAD at checkout. Welcome, welcome, welcome back on the show. Hello, Dalian.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I was going to give you
I can't find anyone else crazy enough to do this with me 5 days a week. So,
yeah,
you know,
about crazy. I was going to give you a Bashar-like salute that was going to be a little too intense maybe for this morning, or, well, for this initial greeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please don't let me stop you.
No, I know, huh?
We are going to play a Bashar clip today, so, you know.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was a little bit of a preview, huh? Me getting ahead of myself. Yeah.
So what's going on in your world today, Dalian the Alien? Anything exciting to share in ways of mysterious or scientific or intriguing story of the day?
Oh, yeah. Why don't I just go for it, right?
Go for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Found a story on the BBC website, Brandon, and there's a slew of really cool stories. And these are, again, a little kind of like medically or scientifically minded, like I've been reporting on lately. If you go to bbc.com/future, there's like a slew of stories there, like this. A few people, including this, one of the subjects of this article, who are mutants, you could say. They have a fourth cone, the type of, what would you call it, retinal eye cell in their eyes. We typically have three types of cones that help us detect color information. And so they've already detected a few people who have four. And so they can see these amazing colors, Brandon. It's really cool. The article talks about this artist. Her name is Conchetta Antico, and she discovered that she carried this genetic mutation that allowed her to see colors. The quote is literally colors that you can't see or imagine.
Wow.
And as she talks about, like, looking at like little pebbles by the roadside or whatever, but then being just like alive with kaleidoscopic type of color, which is fascinating, right?
Wow.
So, yeah. And of course, her being an artist, that must have been a huge boon to her work. But it's just really cool because, you know, I read further into the article and they go in quite a bit of depth. It's a pretty fascinating read, but they essentially explain the science of that, right? And how that fourth, that additional type of, you know, cell in your retina essentially allows you to capture more color information. But it reminds me of accounts of other, you know, more psychedelic experiences, right? Where your color perception is so enhanced and, you know,
like
you
synesthesia.
See these.
Like,
right,
I knew a young
exactly.
girl who had synesthesia, and she talked about how my voice was, myself and my son Bradley, we have like a unique color green that she had never seen, like, with anyone else, which is really cool. Like, she sees colors for sounds.
Fascinating. Oh, yeah. I had a kid many years ago. I was sitting at a bus stop here waiting for the bus, and this like young kid who actually looked a bit like Leonardo DiCaprio, I remember, was telling me he was synesthetic. So that was fascinating.
Yeah,
that was the first time I'd heard of it.
Super cool phenomenon. Like, I mean, any of these things are just like, every time we think it's so, people are so quick to just think, oh, this is the way it is, and that's it. And every time that happens, you can see, oh, another wall taken down. It's like, why do we ever discount anything? I mean, I obviously we're very open-minded around here. I don't say, hey, this is fact or isn't fact, or, you know, I don't ever make a claim unless I have some sort of very solid personal firsthand experience. But staying open-minded is the only thing to do. Like, for example, we're going to share a Bashar clip. Well, what is Bashar? Who is Bashar? He's a guy who claims to channel an extraterrestrial entity who's coming through him and communicating with mankind at this time.
Whether he is or isn't, I can't say for sure. It's not my experience. All I know is the information that he's sharing is like so powerful and profound. I don't really care where it's coming from, you know, and so many people will instantly discount like, oh, that's not possible because I haven't done it, you know. And of course, most of our listeners are open to some degree or they wouldn't be here. But it's just great to see these scientific based things. Once again, that's why I always gravitate. Show me some science that can help tie this stuff together and add, you know, credence to. You know, the fact that there's more going on than meets the eye, no pun intended.
No, that's very well said, Brandon. And it always makes me want to come back to this whole idea that I have for a scientific basis for all of this. It being consciousness is the basis for everything. So from that point of view, and of course, energy, really what we understand, matter and energy being two really just sides of the same coin, right?
Right.
If everything is ultimately energy and consciousness is ultimately everything, then I think that, you know, you could kind of see how everything springs from this, you know, ideas like a holographic universe or really even our genetic code being activated by and influenced by our perception. They don't seem like such outlandish ideas, really. You know, right. To me, it all really adds up to the same thing. You know, perception and consciousness rule our experience and they create everything, which is what we know to be true.
Absolutely. And what you're saying actually kind of segues nicely into what I want to talk about next, which is the concept of good and evil. And what is good and evil, in my opinion? Well, it's two varying degrees of the same energy. It's all energy is essentially neutral by design. What you do with it determines whether it becomes good or, you know, think about it. You have so much energy that you can exert in a given day or a given week or a given lifetime. What you do with that energy that's flowing through, that chi that's flowing through your being, determines whether it's transmuted into good or evil. And it's really just like hot and cold. It's varying degrees of the same stuff. And the quote that I'd like to share is by Harry Potter, or it's from Harry Potter. I'm not sure who said it in the movie, but or one of the movies. There is no good or evil, only power, and those too weak to see it. And this really, you know, rings very true to me. It's like people who are quote unquote evil or dabbling in negative vibration, really, or taking energy and transmuting into negative vibration. It's just a lack of awareness of their power. They're lost in separation versus, you know, positive energy is all about unification and integration, and negative energy is separation and not enough and scarcity. And so that's really all that's happening when you're dealing with, there is no evil like we think of it in the fact that this person is intrinsically evil. No, their perspective is broken. And most likely it's because they've experienced things that have taught them that this is the way life is. This is really what's going on. And it's just a lack of awareness. And so what I would like to do is actually, I also like the quote, evil is just live spelled backwards. You know, it's a part of life. It's a part of, we of course, we talk about it all the time. The sweet's never quite as sweet without the sour. So I feel like evil is something that so many people are hung up on and so worried about and concerned about. What about all the evil in the world? And, you know, it's so terrifying and it you know, makes me paralyzed. Essentially, it paralyzes a lot of people. I can think of someone that I used to walk around with and they would like, it was just going on a walk one time with this guy, and he would hide behind a telephone pole at a stoplight because he was so fearful that someone was going to run off and hit him, you know, just like paralyzed by fear, you know, all the evil, all look at, you know, the Middle East is so evil. And it's like, no, they're just, and it's not, first off, stereotyping people in mass like that is the biggest mistake you can make. And it's just lack of awareness. So what I'd like to do, speaking of Bashar, is here, Bashar talk about evil, domination, and darkness. And I found this on YouTube Happy Skydiver 33's page. Let's take a listen.
Hello.
Andrew, you good day.
Hi. So my question is on the same, about the same subject, more or less.
So, all right. More or less?
More. Well.
More and less.
Thank you. More and less. See, you're learning.
How about evil? How about people that choose to be evil in this life?
Well, all right. again, understand, first of all, of course, the concept of evil is quite subjective. We prefer the idea of negative energy. From our perspective, the idea that you're calling evil, we call negative energy, and that simply is a mechanical description of what is being done. Positive energy is that which integrates, binds, unifies, makes whole. Negative energy is that which segregates, separates, diversifies in that sense, and breaks apart, and thus doesn't allow communication to occur in a harmonious way, but is discordant, jarring, jagged, rough. You follow me? This is a description of the actual energy involved in terms of what you're calling evil. But the only reason that a being would choose to exhibit that kind of behavior, as we said, is because they themselves have been subjected to it somewhere along the line and have been taught that that's the only way to communicate, that that's the only way to relate to all that is. They are in fear, deep, deep, deep fear, and they feel powerless and disconnected from spirit. And in feeling powerless and experiencing the idea of powerlessness, it isn't that they are powerless, but in experiencing the idea of powerlessness, they then resort to the only thing they have at hand, and that is physical control, domination. They feel they are losing control, losing their grip, going down the drain. They're dying. They feel like they are dying. And believe me, you don't want to die alone. So you'll take as many people with you as you can. And if that means, in the only way you know how, through negative behavior and negative action, well, you'll lash out and you'll do that. Because it's an attempt to reconnect, but in the only way they've been taught how. Negatively. That's what domination is. An attempt to reconnect with no positive tools. They don't know how. They only have negative tools. That's how they were brought up. But it's still an attempt to reconnect. If you understand that and can find that space in the being that can be reached, that can be loved unconditionally, that can be shown they are as valid a piece of creation as anyone, then maybe they'll be willing to let go of the fear, let go of the need for domination, and transform themselves from negative to positive. As you would say in your colloquial language, they will give up the job of being evil because it's simply no longer necessary. Here is the secret that people don't understand. Many people on your planet don't understand. When they feel like they are powerless and are trying to dominate in order to gain a sense of power, the issue really is, of course, is that's simply an expression of powerlessness, because the greatest power requires the lightest touch. If you truly have power, you hardly have to do anything to make things happen. The people that have to strain at it, force others, dominate others, are actually saying, I have no power at all. So I have to force everything to work instead of allowing it to work, which it already does. Allowance is the key, and unconditional love is the key, and teaching them that they are powerful aspects of creation, so they don't have to be in fear and terror and feel disconnected, and thus feel like the only way to reconnect is to dominate everything in their reach. Does that make some sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
On a more personal level.
Yes.
First of all, I want to say that as soon as you came through, I totally choked up and I had no idea why.
That's all right. Many people will have that reaction. In fact, some people will fall dead asleep. Sometimes the frequency that we give off is better processed in other ways. Sometimes it will actually bring things up within you that you may only just barely be ready to look at. We exist in a certain kind of frequency domain that induces others to rise to that level. This is one of the reasons why we don't physically land on your planet yet. If we did, and you were literally exposed to us full force, it might actually cause many of you to go into psychotic shock. Because it would actually force issues you may not be ready to look at to the surface of your consciousness, and you would actually be terrified of yourself, not us. terrified of himself, and runs screaming. There have been three occasions when people have asked us, Bashar, I am totally ready to meet you face to face. If you land your ship, tell me where, tell me when. I promise I will be there. I'm so ready to meet you. Three times we have said, okay, be at this place at this time on this day. I guarantee you, all three times, as soon as they perceived that we were about to land, they ran screaming. You're not ready for our full frequency. This is why you must understand the difference between the world you have created and the world you can create. What it really means to have heaven on earth. The frequency, the energy is so intense when you are living on that level that we must be cautious when we encounter beings that are not living on that level so that we do not burn them out. So, we start slow with these kinds of interactions, yet some of our energy still leaks through. Now, I will tell you, and again, please, none of this is bragging, none of this is judgment. I am simply discussing the mechanics of the physics of the energy. What you are experiencing right now is about 1% of our energy, and that's it. You follow me? We are linearly... If we were to put an overlay of our reality onto your reality, just in terms of space-time, linearity, our reality vibrationally would be about 300 years ahead of your reality. But culturally, we're about 3,000 years ahead. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean it's going to take you 3,000 years to get where we are, because you live on a world of great acceleration.
Yes.
The point of Earth is to accelerate from the dark to the light more rapidly than almost any other world.
Wow.
Yeah. This is why we use what we call the rubber band analogy to describe your planet. You all know that when you take a rubber band on your planet, the farther you pull it back, the farther it will go when you let it go. The idea on Earth is darkness. The reason you have experienced so much depth of darkness and limitation, you have pulled your rubber band so far back into darkness that when you finally decide to let go of all the darkness, you will snap that much faster and that much farther into the light. That's what you're doing. That's the way you're doing it. You are very strong, very brave beings for doing this. And we thank you. Because you are teaching many other planets valuable lessons of how to overcome almost anything. Euphemistically speaking, they look at you and what you've been capable of overcoming and transforming and say, well, if they can do that, this is nothing. You follow me?
Yeah.
Does this help?
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Before we continue on with today's episode, I'd like to take a quick moment to tell you about a podcast that is focused on answering the big questions in life called Stories of Impact. Did you know that there are researchers out there working daily to discover scientific evidence about how you can flourish? Join Tavia Gilbert as she shares and connects with compelling stories all about the ongoing scientific exploration of how to live better and shares key discoveries of research grantees from the Templeton World Charity Foundation. I listened to an episode with Deepak Chopra where he discusses how human flourishing is intimately tied into our ability to tap into the flow state, which really resonates with me. As you know, if you have read my book, I wholeheartedly believe in the importance of focusing our flow. So to continue improving your physical and mental health, tune into new episodes the first and third Tuesday of the month by subscribing and listening wherever you get your podcast. And be sure to check out storiesofimpact.org.
So yeah, as he says, he talks about it so eloquently. Evil is really just negative energy. You know, as he said, kind of the same thing. Positive energy binds and integrates. Negative separates. Most people lost in evil, they've just been taught this, subjected to it. They're in fear, deep, deep fear, and disconnected from source. So if you can see someone that's evil instead of this awful thing that needs to be destroyed and how dare they, and instead see them as deeply embedded in fear and disconnected, it's going to change your perspective on them in a way that is actually introduces the opportunity to heal, or for them to heal, because of course they're going to show up in your story as a reflection in some way of you. So if you're looking at them, you know, he talked about it's actually, and you know, they're attempting to reconnect with no positive tools. And if you can understand that and can find the space in that being that can be loved unconditionally, then maybe you're going to see them let go of fear and domination and transform from negative to positive, because there's no more need. They're getting the connection that they're missing. You're just jumping right to it without all the judgment and separation that you create by judging their state, you know? And I know this is so challenging for so many people. It's really as true as he said, the greatest power requires a very light touch. You know, if you can bring this light perspective to a dark person, you know, what a gift. And I just absolutely love, you know, it makes me think of the story, The Little Soul in the Sun. And I don't know if I've ever referenced it on the show or not, but yeah, one of my favorite children's stories written by Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God. And he talked about, you know, I highly recommend you guys getting it and reading it. It's like a 15-minute read, but the soul that wanted to experience the concept of forgiveness, and he's in, you know, eternity and everything's perfect and every soul's perfect, and he gets sad because he can never experience that. And then he's having a conversation with the sun, which is symbolic of God or the higher self. And he said, you always were the adventuresome one. I knew you'd think of this. We'll create a realm where you can experience forgiveness, but it will take another soul sort of lowering their vibration so greatly that they lose themselves, forget themselves fully in order to do this thing to allow, give you the opportunity for forgiveness. And in that moment, they'll have completely lost themselves. They'll be lost in the illusion completely. And the only job that you have is to do what it is you want, forgive and remember them for who and what they truly are. And I think that is so powerful, guys. If you can take anyone who's done you harm, your parents, your lover, your friend, anyone who's screwed you over and done these awful things, and you can, instead of, you know, being mad, angry, hateful, whatever you're feeling negative towards them, and realize, hold on, I'm only hurting myself. The soul did this not because they're intrinsically evil. They did this because they're deeply in fear and disconnected and hurt. And this is like, I mean, talk about the path to healing yourself and opening yourself up for more. You can let go of all that resistance that you've been holding on to, all that separation that you've been holding on to, which is limiting what you can call into your reality. It's a block, and it becomes a block in your life. And like any block, once you understand it for what it is, the lump of coal can be transformed into the diamond that it's meant to become. And it can release so much goodness in your life.
Yeah, Brandon, that story of the little soul and the sun is so beautiful because it's such a perfect analogy for so many things that are profound and sometimes difficult to understand. I love the part of the story that's also, you know, just symbolic of, in a very kind of visual way, what we're doing, because the little soul is like a candle in the sun, right?
Yeah,
and the sun is so bright that the little soul, it's tiny light, it can't see itself.
Right.
So it is told, you know, you have to go to a place where there's darkness, and you will have to be surrounded by darkness so that you can see your light, because your light, you can't see it when you're here amidst, you know, everything that's bright and brilliant.
Yeah.
You really just can't tell it apart from the background. Literally,
it's a great perspective. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
where does a lighthouse belong?
Exactly.
In the darkness. It doesn't sitting in the middle of, like, you know, the sunlight or a thousand other lighthouses. That would make no sense.
Yeah. And Bashar gets into a little bit of that with the analogy of the great acceleration that we experience here.
The rubber band analogy is so cool.
Right. It's such a realm of contrast. The extreme contrast that we get to live in this realm is really, you could say, one of the most precious gifts that you could imagine. And really, we can come into a space of deep appreciation for that. But that really does entail letting go of so much judgment that
judgment
keeps
sleepy.
You from, yeah.
It's a key. Every time you find yourself judging, you're creating separation. You're removing yourself from source. Source does not see any of your judgment about anything that the negative that's happening. It doesn't have it. It sees nothing but appreciation.
Right. So, resistance, that whole thing, right? Like the whole light touch thing, again, it speaks to the same idea, I think, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dalian, I think we're getting down to it for today, running out of imaginary time yet again. Luckily, there's plenty more where this came from. So we'll be back here again.
Nice.
Doing it again. Until then, we have some tasty music lined up for you. This is...
Oh, yeah, you got something really
this
good.
This is Goop Steppa.
Goop Steppa. This is an awesome track. You previewed it for me.
This is really called Fashionably Late. Don't be scared to get up and dance to this one.
Ah, there we go.
Also, before we cue up today's song, as a quick reminder, don't forget to download the Golden Key audio or ebook as my free gift to you at goldenkey.gift using the Golden Key code POSITIVEHEAD. And please, if you enjoy my gift, leave a positive review on Amazon so others can unlock their lives with the help of the Golden Key as well.